Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. How about that? And Piedmont Medical Center is with us again today. Piedmont Medical Network, a community you can build on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. Well, this is a political race coming up here on, of all days, the first day of September, that I don't think anybody has really talked about a whole lot. But we're going to talk about it today, not only for this edition of a Straight Talk, but also the next half hour between 1 o'clock and 1:30. We have the two candidates who are both trying to get your approval to be the Democratic nominee for the State Senate District number 15. Candidate number one.
Hello, Manning.
Sign in, please.
Very good.
His name is Chad Williams.
Chad Williams, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here. So tell everybody, it's hard to believe that nobody knows who you are, but there's a lot of people moved here since you were last in politics, pal.
Absolutely. Yep, I've been talking to a lot of them. They appreciate this opportunity. Yeah, Chad Williams, born in York County. Lived here all my life except for 4 years at Clemson University and 3 months in El Paso, Texas when I was at OBC to become an Army National Guard officer. Came back here and community service has been important to me all my life. Eagle Scout, held about every office there was in Rock Hill JCs. Opportunity to serve on the Planning Commission came up. Did that for 10 years. Opportunity to serve on the County Council came up. Did that for 10 years. Thought it was somebody else's turn, but I haven't. Didn't quit. Been serving on boards and commissions ever since. So, glad to be here. York County is the best place in the world. That's 4 years and 3 months were enough away to make me aware of that.
You know, you hit a nail on the head. If you have the opportunity to have lived somewhere else, then you move to York County. Or if you were in York County, then had to be leaving here for a period of time and you come back, you realize how good we have it here.
Absolutely.
Despite our whatever differences we have, this still is a great place to live.
Nowhere's perfect, but we close.
So what are the recent boards and commissions you've been on?
I serve on the COG board. I'm chair of the Bethel United Methodist Church Council, chair of the Anne Springs Close Greenway, serve on the Rock Hill ZBA. Served on the Penny's Five Commission, no longer on Rock Economic Development, but I did serve on them in the meantime, and I rotate off of the Keystone Board at the end of this year.
So you've been a busy guy, even though you haven't been in the public eye.
Correct.
You've been a busy guy.
Community service is always important. A long time ago, I got some advice that you can get a lot done if it doesn't matter who gets the credit, and there's a lot of truth to that.
All right, so you've been absent from the political limelight for 7 years or so.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, you're back into it. What prompted you to do this?
Yeah, some folks approached me in the spring and said that this race was coming up, and they thought I'd really be good. And I was flattered at first, and I still am flattered. But I started talking to people about it, and my wife especially. I talked to Melinda, and she said, she told me, she said, I'll support you either way. And I really mean it. And I believed her until she said, I really mean it. I figured there must be a way that she actually wanted me to lean. I figured she probably didn't want me to serve. But in conversations with her, it became apparent that she actually did want me to serve. She's just as concerned about the directions that politics have gone in since I left as anybody else. And in conversations with my pastor and other folks, really convinced me that now's the opportunity to get back in.
So when you say the direction that politics has changed, how do you see that it's changed?
Instead of working together, the people immediately looking for differences and talking about things that we can't agree on rather than talking about things we can agree on. In fact, when I was listening for a change was my slogan in 2008, and I still listen. I mean, it's very important to me to listen to people. That's part of the way that my approach is. But But let's start where we agree what I came up with the slogan this time. But we'd spend so much time talking about things we don't agree on. There's so many things we do agree on that we could actually do. Why don't we get some stuff done on the things we can agree on, and then we'll worry about the stuff we don't agree on.
Do you blame this mostly on the tone from Washington, D.C., the red versus blue?
Yeah, this is not new. Negative politics, people always say they're not going to do negative politics, and they won't. Well, the reason that they do is because it works. So, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Cost more and more to run for office, which is crazy. The rules have changed, and you got different people that Citizens United allows people to put in money. So it costs a whole lot of money to campaign, and it's really so what we're doing is we're attracting people that are good at campaigning. We're electing people that are good at campaigning, not necessarily good at serving. A lot of people that are good at serving will not do what it takes to campaign to actually get elected.
And I don't think most people realize, Chad, and you would, that these so-called part-time jobs, whether you be a county councilman or a state senator or a state representative, whatever, end up in many ways being another full-time job.
Correct, yeah, especially the state house. I mean, they say January to May, it's three days a week is how they describe it. It's kind of like when I was National Guard, they described it one week in a month and two weeks out of the year. And it's more to that. And it's more to the 3 days a week, too. And then the salary that they pay, not that anybody should make any money down there, but it shouldn't cost you any money. So some people that are good at serving actually cannot afford to go down there and serve because they'd have to give up their real job to do it.
Very true. Absolutely true. All right. So here you are. You're on the cusp of a primary. Were we expecting a primary?
I was not. No, when I were recruited, it was recruited because they thought I had a good chance to win at the fall. Yeah, I think we're at a tipping point. I think I've got a lot to offer, and I think I'll be I think I'm the best choice in both of them. But no, I was not expecting a primary, and then for the primary to, there's nothing really wrong with the choice, but a big part of this primary is the odd timing of it, and nobody saw that it would be right after a U.S. Senate race as well. I mean, I've knocked on doors, and I've had people tell me, so I'm not voting for you, I'm voting for Ann Andrews, I'm not voting for you, I'm voting for Ralph Norman, and there's just two different races. It's just been very confusing.
Well, you raise a very good question. I don't think I've ever remember a political primary being on the first day of September with absolute and following on the heels of a very robust gubernatorial campaign followed by the death of United States Senator Lindsey Graham. And then six candidates running for his job for 2 weeks, and then a runoff, which just ended here this past week.
Correct, and there was a runoff for the June primaries, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the people are getting tired of voting. I really appreciate if they vote one more time, because I do think we got a good chance in the fall. Now, technically, this election in the fall is a special election, too, but the timing of it is at the same day as the general election, so it will appear to be part of the general election. Yeah, this is the only state Senate race in South Carolina this year.
And I understand that Senator Clymer did this purposely in order to keep the state or the county from having to incur an additional expense to run a special election. That's why he held off on his resignation.
Correct.
So, okay. So, here you are. How do you get... This is a numbers game. This is a guessing game of who's going to get out 200 or 300 voters.
Correct.
To vote, because you're right. Nobody knows about this thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, we've sent out some mailers and I've... paid for some text, and sorry for some of the folks that didn't want it, but some of them appreciated it. And actually, yesterday I texted a lot of my friends personally, to the point that Apple's called me a spammer, and now I can't iMessage anymore. but yeah, I apologize to anybody that got those that didn't appreciate them as well.
So this really is a question of trying to knock on doors, solicit people that you know, friends of yours,
correct,
to get out there and vote, because it is going to be a very low turnout.
Yes, yeah, and it's I mean, which is a stark contraction to the November election. So yeah, anything that can happen in a primary, but yeah, we really want to get people to get out and vote for me.
Yeah, that's the idea. Okay, so if you knocked on my door. Which I don't think you have yet.
Well, I have not. Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's okay. You won't get it anyway.
Right. Well, I can mark that one off.
No. We got a gate across.
Right.
Across. But seriously, when you talk about somebody wants to talk to you about issues.
Right.
What are you going to say are, I don't know, the number one, two issues on your book?
Affordability is affordability, health care, and education is what people want to talk about. You know, like I said, listening is something I've always done. On my website, chadforsenate.com, the first page of it is a survey, and the survey is asking what's important to people. And the priorities are coming back as roads, traffic infrastructure, and health care and insurance and budget problems. I mean, the same thing that's important to everybody else in York County and South Carolina is important to me. You know, a safe, affordable place to live, affordable health care, easy way to get there, and good jobs.
Well, let's deal with that first thing.
All right.
The affordability, trying to give people a place to live.
Right.
Now, I have just done a Straight Talk show that's going to air next week with the consultant and a representative of COG.
Correct.
That have done this massive four counties research gathering data about the housing issue. And one of the questions I raised in there was, this data is now being given to all the counties. And what are they going to do with it? Is this going to be another study that sits on a shelf? Is there any timetable to try to encourage the counties to say within a year we're going to do X, Y, and Z? Something to get this to happen, because in my humble opinion, it's going to take money from someplace.
That's a great, yeah, you're right, and that's a great question, and that reminds me, I missed two boards. You are also on the York Tech Commission, as well as the COG. I'm still so I was very much a part of that workforce housing study, and we had the York County presentation last Wednesday.
Right.
And I think it was well received by members of council. I mean, the counties and cities actually funded the study, so there's a good support for it, and that's another thing that you need to know, how everything's interconnected. Like you said, the workforce housing, I mean, part of that study shows that our jobs are outpacing our housing, so we need to have some affordable housing for the people that do the workforce jobs. Nurses, police, all of us really need affordable housing, and it goes through and says that. So we need to have affordable housing, because if people are moving in or having to come in here to work, then that increases traffic. So, I mean, everything's kind of interconnected. So you got to have an affordable, safe place to live so you can work here. And if you're traveling further to work, then you're boggling up the road. So, I mean, it's all interconnected.
Okay. I could say that you just stated the obvious. I mean, everybody agrees with that.
Yep.
That issue's been out there for a number of years, ever since COVID. When everything exploded price-wise, we've had this issue. What I don't see is what's somebody going to do about it. To me, the cost of lumber is just going to get more expensive. The labor is going to get more expensive. So you've got this issue about land, and you also have this issue about regulations, about what kind of housing is going to be acceptable for somebody who's making, you know, $40,000 a year.
Exactly.
And that needs to, somebody needs to get on the ball and really start working on that.
Yeah, and all of that is part of that study. You know, the land and the cost of fees. I was talking to a couple of contractors after the meeting, said the cost of a tap in the city that they're working, a water tap in the city they're working in, is $20,000. I mean, you do that, you add that to a house, it's ridiculous. And we have impact fees, but impact fees are they've been studied and deemed necessary for education. I mean, it takes, in any community, you got to have a safe place to live, a good place to learn, and a good place to work, and fun places to play.
What makes no sense to me, and I'm not trying to beat you up on this, but we have, you know, to live in an apartment here in Rock Hill, it's $1,500 to $2,000
Correct.
A month, right?
Right.
To have a mortgage is a fraction of that amount, right? But you've got to come up with a down payment to get these people started.
Right. Now, I don't know if it's a fraction of that amount, but you could definitely buy a, 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 a bigger home for that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have people who are, you know, down at the Lifehouse for Women, or we have people at Pathways who are working, but they are working poor, and so they can't afford $1,500 to $2,000. Right. So I asked myself, if we need these worker bees, which we do, because that's what makes the community work, right? Then it seems to me the government, state government, county government, city government, need to step up to the plate and say, you know what, we're going to pool our resources, and we're going to get serious about this problem. Yep. Here's a tract of land over here. We're going to acquire that piece of land. We're going to, you know, change these regulations so we can build something that people can afford to live in. We're not going to give it to them. It's going to be something that they can afford.
Yep.
And I don't hear that from anybody.
Well, hopefully this COG study is the start of it, because I mean that I went to one of the first, when I was on the planning commission, I visited a couple communities to talk about affordable housing and how you could mix it in, and Davidson was one of them. And they were one of the things is an affluent neighborhood, a house that looks just like a house, but it's actually a quadruplex that fits in well, but you get pushback from that. I mean, there's a bunch of different products that can do that. Minimum square foot lots, minimum square foot homes also are regulations that could be changed to do affordability.
They have to be.
Yeah, one of the things that they talked about was public land. If they've got public land, is using public land to build some houses on and selling it that way. Now, I'm not sure that they've identified anybody, but they were just talking about everything in this study.
All right, so I guess my question to you is, you're running for a state Senate seat.
Right.
You've got all this background and all this thing we've just been discussing. Do you see yourself as being an instrument to start raising the bully pulpit and start banging on people's desks to say, we got to get this done?
Well, my strength has always been working together to get what we're done. And yeah, if I have to bang on the desk, I'll bang on the desk. But that's usually not where I start. The way the Senate works is a little bit different. And like I said a minute ago, you can get a lot done if it doesn't matter, if you're willing to work hard, and it doesn't matter who gets the credit. And I'm willing to do that. And if it takes banging on the desk, I'll bang on the desk. But the things that are important to York County are important to me, and that's what I'm going to ensure that we remain York County.
Yeah. Well, this problem is just going to get bigger and bigger. I mean, that's why I'm sitting here using this format to say somebody's got to start and take the first step. Right. COG has done a great job with this study. Don't let the study sit.
Correct. No. They've done it, and they've turned it over to, I mean, so hopefully the government entities we turn it over to are receptive. The fact that they paid for it meant they were interested in the first place. But it can't sit there, and the COG can certainly facilitate that, but they can't do it. We got to do it together.
Yeah, and somebody needs to keep encouraging them to do it.
Correct.
Bottom line. All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relaxing with Founders, and by Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, anybody that knows anything knows we do fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and if you can read the King's English, you are encouraged to participate at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
At Farmers Exchange.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Gas prices might be high, but your auto loan rate doesn't have to be. Beat your current auto loan rate by 2% when you refinance with Founders Federal Credit Union. Plus, no payments for up to 90 days. That's right, a great rate and no payments for up to 90 days. Stop by an office or apply on the Founders app today. To learn more, visit foundersfcu.com/auto. For additional costs and information, call us toll-free 800-845-1614. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 323-224-5044 or online at andersongriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
At Comporium, nothing matters more than community. For over a century, Comporium has kept its friends and neighbors moving forward with technology, community service, and philanthropy. Improving the lives of people around you is always what matters most. And because we live and work here too, Comporium is invested in keeping our community connected and thriving. World-class technology powered by local customer service, deep community roots, and people who know your name and care. That's Comporium.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Good fresh food, even fresher than Subway, and it's also on a paleo diet.
I like the people, I like the food, and being picked on.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Manning Kimmel.
Great talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We're doing an extended version today. Chad Williams is one of two candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for State Senate District number 15. Monika White is the other one, and she will be with us right after the top of the hourly news at 1 o'clock. Okay, Chad, you're from York County. You're going to go, you know, you're going to go down there to the great bastion of knowledge down in Columbia, where we're going to have representatives from all over the state.
Correct. Yep.
I think it's fair to say, true or false, that as Betty Jo Ray said years and years ago, York County and Rock Hill are the redheaded stepchild of South Carolina. I don't think we're that anymore.
Not quite. You know, due to a lot of her work in those sense.
So we are growing. We're growing rapidly.
We are.
You talk about talking with people, trying to resolve issues. But to be effective at the state level, you got to be effective at the local level, correct?
Correct.
And we know we've had a big apple out of this barrel here recently. We're trying to get a major industry here called Octopharma.
Right.
So do you see part of your role at the state level trying to figure out a way to bring the county and the cities closer together, so we're more in lockstep with each other?
Absolutely. When they approached me in the spring, one thing that when I was thinking about running, you know, one thing that I realized is on those eight boards of commissions, at some point we had to respond directly to something that came out of the state senate. It's General Assembly. So there's a lot of things that happen in Columbia that affect us locally. There's not a whole lot of local experience down there necessarily when the decisions are made, and we don't find out for a couple of years later what actually happens. So I would love to take my local experience down there. And a good part of my local experience is I've got good relationships. I already got the relationships I bring. Got good relations with all nine municipalities in the county, and actually 11 if you include the unincorporated areas of Lake Wylie and the area between Fort Mill and Tiga K, which I call Tiga Mill or Fort K, depending on how you look at it. But Baxter is actually probably the biggest representation of that. I also have relationships with all four school districts and all three institutions of higher learning that we have in York County. And knowing how the issues can affect everyone up here when we're actually talking down in Columbia, I think is an asset that's down there that's desperately needed.
Well, we want to make sure that if we get another opportunity like we've had with Octopharma, that we don't go down this same road again that we all witnessed and had to live through. Which finally ended up, we got a deal.
It ended up the work way, but it shouldn't have been that hard to get there.
You know, I've heard some suggestions that maybe those who are down in Columbia need to put some guardrails around this fee in lieu of taxes arrangement. So if future deals come up here like this way, that everybody's going to get what they're supposed to get, which is like 62% and 19% and 60% or whatever that number is,
yeah,
rather than jockeying around trying to take money away from one entity at the expense of another.
Yeah, and we often forget what happens. I mean, that's how we got where we got was the fee that we started with fees because the manufacturing taxes are higher in South Carolina than they are in other places. So to attract people, we had to have some method of attracting industries we wanted to attract. So we came up with fees. And basically all entities, nobody's getting shorted taxes. They're just getting, everybody's getting less taxes at an equal percentage.
That's
so
exactly right.
The agreement was there and it had been there forever and ever. And we rather than having all the entities meet every time we had a fee deal, it was just given to the counties through the tool of multi-county industrial parks. So, all issues, there's a lot of moving parts, and you got to understand them and put them all together. But you know, it sounds like we just need to get together and remind and have that meeting again. If we forgot all the details of 20 years ago, and we need to talk about percentages, then we need to get together, have the meeting again, and so we can facilitate this a whole lot easier. Because if every entity's got to get together every time, it's going to lead to a bunch of unnecessary meetings and add a whole lot more to the process of approval, which goes back to the affordable housing conversation we were talking about what it takes to get something approved.
Yeah, if there ever was an issue that could bring the county and the city together, it would be that, affordable housing.
Yeah.
How can we make sure that everybody who would like to live here has the ability to live here?
Yep.
We don't want to create a situation where all the people who want to live here have got to live somewhere else.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
Chester County, Lancaster County, whatever.
We desperately need attainable housing or workforce housing, whatever you want to call it. But everybody, you shouldn't be deciding between your mortgage and your groceries.
All right. So you say affordability is going to be your number one thing. Is there something in your mind about a particular piece of legislation or something that's there on the books that you think should be pushed that's not being pushed?
Well, and that's, you know, when I get down there, I'm more about the way that I take the issues that are there rather than the issues that I bring. And when I was trying to pick three issues, and when I ran for county council, I did pick three issues. And my approach to service has always been to listen to what you say, read all the boring stuff you don't want to read, go to the boring meetings you don't want to go to, and then go to the meetings that you can't go to. And then to make the decision you would make if you did all that, and then be able to explain it to you when you disagree with me the stuff that I found in the boring readings and that. So that has always been my approach, and that's what I intend to do. But affordability, I see you wanted to interrupt me.
Yeah, we've got about 30 seconds left, and I know one thing that we should have talked about is the business about data farms, because that's a big state issue. It's a big county issue here.
Right.
You know, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, and that's one of the issues that we were talking about, and we got one coming up, one coming out of the ground here in Lake Wylie. And Sunday, I'll actually be at the meeting to hear that. But yeah, I've been to a meeting with QTS, and I've heard the citizens. But it's, yeah, there's a bill. That's an example of one of the issues that we're addressing with is how to address the data centers in the whole state.
Well, Chad, thank you for being here. Thanks for offering yourself to be a candidate for this race. We'll see what happens. Here we go again. But remember, we got to tell people this is going to happen on September the 1st.
Tuesday, yeah. And early vote until 5:30 today, and then Tuesday.
General election. And this primary is open to everybody.
Correct.
There's no restrictions at all.
Correct, yeah. Usually you have to pick between a primary, but there's no primary to pick between. This is
no
only primary, so anybody can vote.
All right. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. At least this segment. We're coming back in a few minutes with the other half of this Democratic twosome. Monica White is going to be with us. And we remind you, the Straight Talk is made possible by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. And again, one more time, Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you back here in just a few minutes. Bye.